I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Hey, Gamertag Radio listeners, we've been promoting now this for a couple weeks. The survey, which take less than 3 minutes, go to playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. It's going to help the podcast and everything in. You know, we've been planning now, you know, our coverage that's coming up sometime in June for E3 2016 and also other future events that's coming up this year. And, you know, the more people that take the survey, the better it's going to be for Gamertag Radio. And it's going to help us big time. We're planning a lot of things for this year and the future, but it all depends on you, the listeners. So if you take the short survey at playitsurvey.com, it's going to help the podcast big time. But the only way for us to make all this happen, our coverage for E3 and everything else, it depends on you, the listeners. So, you know, we've been releasing episodes twice a week. And it was because of you guys that told us that you wanted more content. So if you take this survey, we're going to make some major, major changes with the podcast. And we have a lot of things coming up in the future. So it all depends on you, the listeners. So go to playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. And fill out this survey. It's going to take less than 3 minutes. And that's it. You have a lot of cool things coming up. So now let's continue with episode 555. Check it out.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio. With your hosts, Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this club.
Come on.
Yeah. Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 555. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey. And joining us this week, we have Patrick.
What's up, Danny?
Here, man. Good. Just hyped for this new Final Fantasy 15 game.
Right? The wait is almost over. Can you believe it? This might be a record for development cycle that I've ever followed since it used to be Final Fantasy 13 Versus, and I thought that was like the edgiest, coolest idea for the Final Fantasy series. And of course, lo and behold, it turns out it's probably going to be the savior of the whole series. You know, you could not have told me that back before 13 came out, because I was so excited for 13. As I've said on the show many times, I was massively disappointed. I did not like that game at all. So having an extreme about face of 180 on the whole direction of where they've taken Final Fantasy, I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the future of the industry, for Japanese game development, and just for the Western markets as well, because this is a game we've all wanted over here in the States. I know I speak for a lot of Final Fantasy fans, and it's just nice to see a game that, you know, from all the trailers we've seen, put out a new trailer we'll talk about in just a second, but just everything that it points towards is a more accessible Final Fantasy, one that has a greater sense of fun that's not just restricted to people who are hardcore RPG players, where in the past,
I totally agree,
the turn-based system was a love it or hate it thing. You know, the game wasn't going to make you love it 30 hours in. It's either it catched you or it didn't. And that's fine. People don't like turn-based RPGs. So the fact that they're trying something different, the fact it's an action RPG, the fact it's a large open world with multiple characters, and even with like a vehicle, a car you can drive around, this is enough of these new features that are alluring to the Western market that I think this is a big move for Square Enix. It's dangerous because it seems risky on paper to mix up your best formula, but they tried that with 13, very mixed results. So, I mean, I respect them for going off in their direction. It would have been way too easy to go, you know what? 13 was a mess. We're going to go ahead and just remake Final Fantasy VII, which they are. But we're just going to make it exactly like the game was, you know, back in 1997. They had the AAA game for 2016, the one everyone's talking about. So, I mean, they've set themselves up for a huge E3 presence. So I'm really excited.
I have a couple of things to say about that, though.
Yeah.
I have a couple of things to say about that. But also joining us this week, we have Pete Rock. Pete.
I thought I was just going to fade out into the
I know. I felt bad when I was like in the middle of that. I was like, you know, we haven't even brought Pete in yet.
I was
going to
say that, too. I was going to say that, like, is Pete around? Because I think we're taking over the show.
All right. I'll just fat mail. Get it out of the way now. I'm out.
Oh, my God.
What's up, man? How you doing?
No, man. Dude, I'm just hyped, man. Like, I haven't been hyped for a Final Fantasy game in years. I think... since maybe, which one was the one that came out for the Xbox 360 and also PlayStation? That PlayStation 3?
Final Fantasy 13.
13.
That was 2009, maybe so that was the last one.
Was it? No, that was not. No, it was something before that. You sure it was 2008 maybe or 7?
Because then you're getting back into the older ones, which are like Final Fantasy 12 was a PS2 game. Final Fantasy 11 you know, a PS2 MMO.
It was 13 then.
Okay. Because 13 was the one where it was the first one where they really like tried to do something different from the turn-based battle system, and they had what they called the ATB, the active time battle system.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all, man. I mean, it was kind of the thing where like I took it home that night. The excitement and the hype pushed me through the first 20 hours, and it wasn't until I was 20 hours in I was like, you know what? I don't really like this game. I've been forcing myself to enjoy it, to be like, just get to the next cutscene. Once you get to the next cutscene, I'll be worth it. And it just kept going and going. And I was just like, this is bad. Like, Final Fantasy, I mean, there's been a couple of Final Fantasies in the past that I feel like have just not lived up to the potential of the series. But 13, it had so much going for it. I mean, the budget alone, the voice acting was really good. But the plot was nonsensical. And the combat, you know... I have a very good friend of mine that disagrees with me. He loves the combat. I thought it was awful because it took the control away from you. You couldn't plan. You couldn't strategize. You weren't like Pokemon style queuing up what you wanted to do based on what the opponent was doing.
I think you only control one character and everybody else is just bots. From your team.
You set them to an automatic profile. Like, you know, essentially what the Gambit system was from Final Fantasy XII, which was successful, but... it's like they took the feedback in the wrong way. It's like, oh, people seem to like when we automate your teammates a bit. Let's just automate everything. Let's just make you the action star of the game. And it's like, no, you play Final Fantasy because you like the companion characters. You recruit them so you can play as them. It's just so many missed things. So, you know, the fact that they're going back to it's now Final Fantasy 15 is a smaller 4-man squad. You play as Prince Noctis, who is, you know, of course, you've seen the new show we're about to talk about, you know, is supposed to be the king of his new throne. But of course, as typical fantasy tropes go, things go really, really wrong and he's disposed from power. And of course, obviously 15 is about your journey to take back the throne and your birthright and your destiny. And I guess let's jump right into it, Danny.
No, wait. Not yet.
Okay, I'll take my excitement here. Okay.
I have to promote the site, you know, fan mail, voicemail. And also, of course, Pete, we got to pay the bills, too. But before we talk about Final Fantasy for like, I don't know how long. And Pete, I hope you could join in, Pete, because have you even seen the trailer, anything of Final Fantasy yet, Pete?
The last time I played Final Fantasy was never.
Okay.
I am just, adversely against.
No, that's
JRPGs
fine.
And I've never really appreciated it. So it's just,
This is different, dude. This is something that will appeal the hardcore Final Fantasy fans and also those that are not really into RPG. They see it.
Are there guns?
It's totally different.
Yeah. There are guns.
Yeah. You have to watch it. Watch the trailer whenever you get the chance. When I'm talking about, when I'm promoting the website, I want you to check out the trailer. So pause it. Send Pete a trailer.
I already did. Even thought about saying that. I'm ahead of it, man.
All right, perfect. Call me if you hear me snoring in the mic.
Oh, God. All right. So learn from the show. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. And you can listen to our older episodes over there and also share it with your friends. You can also subscribe and find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other places. If you can, give us a review on iTunes. And once again, share with your friends. Let them know about Gamertag Radio. You know, everybody knows about the big podcast, but I think by you, the listener that's listening to this, you could tell your friends, hey, what do you have, an iPhone, Android? Subscribe to Gamertag Radio. Here's why. Boom. And that will help us big time, all right? Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And, of course, later on during this episode, we're going to be reading some fan mail emails. We'll be getting a lot lately. So that's going to be pretty awesome. All right. You're still watching it, OP, right?
Yeah, I'm still awake.
All right. I'm just saying. By the way, Posse, I don't know if you noticed this, but during the press conference yesterday, they made an announcement that they're going to have a one model of a Audi car, Final Fantasy 15 edition. They're only going to make one in the world. Just one. That's it.
that's kind of insulting. It's like, you know, you were saying that. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'm not in the market for a car, but, you know, Final Fantasy car sounds nice. It's like, oh, there's one of them. Oh, so it's insanely expensive, of course.
But it's an Audi R8. It's not like they're only making one version of this car for life. No, it's a factory made Audi R8, just customized. You know, it's like somebody went West Coast Customs on it or something. Mm-hmm.
It's all good, man. At least, Pete, if you buy this, you know what you could do, Pete? Easily.
Set it on fire?
You could. No. No, what you could do is, dude, you sign up with driver Uber and you make some extra income. And you could say, look, I'm the only Uber driver with this type of car, man. Nobody else has this. Nobody else has this.
Well played.
But if you... Well, for you, the listener, that would like to make some extra money, you know, and it's super easy, just drive with Uber. Uber's smartphone app connects with riders, with drivers. As a driver, it helps you make extra money driving your own car. It could be this one, the amazing Audi from Final Fantasy 15. And it's total flexible, and you don't have to quit your day job to make more money. Because Uber lets you make extra money on your own schedule. So whenever you need to make extra money, just turn on the app and drive. A few hours here and there, and it all adds up. And it's super fast and easy. So this is what you do. Go to drivewithuber.com to sign up for free. And you could do it right now while listening to Gamertag Radio. And answer a few basic questions about you and your car, and then get approved. Third, start driving, and that's it. Super easy. So if you want to start working when you want and start earning extra money on your own schedule, sign up to Drive with Uber today. drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Once again, drivewithuber.com. And if you do sign up, let us know here at gamertagradio.com. All right. So let's continue talking about Final Fantasy and everything, man. So yesterday I was online, you know, browsing the web. And then I noticed on Twitter, a lot of people were talking about this whole Final Fantasy press conference that we're going to have. And I heard earlier that GameSpot, I don't know if they did this on purpose, it was a mistake. Supposedly, they basically leaked everything from the announcements that they were going to announce that night, right? And even the release day of the game. I was watching this press conference not knowing anything. And it was the guys at Kinda Funny, Greg and Tim, they were hosting the event. And also, the voice actor that worked on the first season of The Walking Dead game, Telltale Games. He was also hosting the event, too, in the background, which is awesome. Hmm. So, the place was packed. It took place over there in L.A., and they had 15 announcements in total of different things. Like, they showed a trailer. They announced the free anime episodes that was going to be available for free online, and also a feature film that's also going to be available for download and stream, those like Apple, iTunes, or maybe Netflix. I mean, I don't know. They haven't really announced where it's going to be available, but we'll find out that later on. Or you could also get the movie if you pre-order the deluxe edition, or I know they had like an ultimate edition, something like that. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but they only made like 30,000 of those copies of that. That you only could pre-order that through their website of Square Enix and stuff. So they mentioned about a new demo that you could download it tonight. They said that during the press conference. And also they mentioned that the release date, September 30th of this year, which I think was very, very smart for Square Enix to announce that, I mean, to release that game on that day, because later this year, there's going to be a lot of competitions out there too, in October and November, more games coming out. Another thing that I noticed too, which I was talking with Paris last night about this, is that, you know, Square Enix made this press conference just for one game, right? But they did it 2 months before E3. Smart move, in my opinion. They really don't need E3 anymore, in my opinion. They probably just could go to E3 and have like a booth over there for the game. Am I right?
I think I disagree.
They don't really need
Personally. I think this is the kind of game that makes E3 relevant, because it's of a large enough scale with a big enough company backing it, and everybody wants to see it. I mean, they're going to be slammed with appointments. I mean, myself included. I want to see this for sure. No.
But of like, course, I don't know. I'm talking about press conference wise, possibly, because
they could show off a bit more. They don't need to dedicate like a whole like hour to the game, because they already did this. I mean, they already have all the information, the majority of it out there. But I think they'll still have more stuff to show at E3. They'll have another playable chunk of the game. I mean, they'll do the standard marketing run for this. I don't think they'll try to be anything experimental and try to, you know, step out of the mainstream press site, which is an E3 for right now until that changes the foreseeable future. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm already sold to, but I still feel like there's a lot of people who never would buy a Final Fantasy game that they still need to get the marketing message to them. And a heavy E3 push would be a part
of that. That's you, Pete.
So I have a counter to that. If I'm not going to be interested in the game in any way, shape, or form, because watched the trailer while you guys were paying bills. I stopped halfway through. I lost interest, and then I heard Danny talking about an Audi, and then I went elsewhere. I don't see anything. I mean, it's just me, you know, the lowbrow shooter guy.
No, that's fine. But that's fine. That's fine.
I don't see how that would warrant any, you know, additional advertising or what have you to people who are not interested in a JRPG type game.
But it's not, I don't see this game exactly as the older ones, Pete. Like, I see this more as more open, like an open world type game. It might have some JRPG type elements, but it's totally different compared to like the past Final Fantasy games, man. Like the fighting style, everything is totally, totally different. You know,
but you're also going based on total CGI.
No. They show gameplay.
It's the same engine.
That's the same in-game engine.
Right, but in-game engine doesn't necessarily
video.
Though that's all. Remember, this is all in-game staged events, so they're not. You know, they're. You have to take that with a grain of salt. You have to see. You have to put controller in hand and put time on something like this before you start calling this the next coming of sliced bread.
I mean, not to say that it's like the most revolutionary game ever, but I feel like in its feel, in the JRPG feel, because I mean, I'll be more straightforward than Danny. It is a JRPG, but it's one that embraces that they finally need to open up more to the Western world. Because for so long, the JRPG was deadlocked in selling what they knew would be successful. You know, recreating the success of Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest, and Final Fantasy over and over again because it made a crap ton of money. But now that they're in, you know, had some financial difficulties in the last couple of years, 13, you know, was not the great success they wanted it to be. Now 15 is the chance to bring all that back. I mean, it's time to be what the name originally was implying. You know, the Final Fantasy, the game that can save their company. You know, now, obviously, they're not destitute as they were when Final Fantasy first came out all those years ago. But this is a big deal because they have a serious chance here to grow their market probably permanently, because there's probably a lot of people that maybe tried Final Fantasy as a kid. They played 7 or 8 or 9 on PS1 back in the day, maybe even like 6 on the Super Nintendo, and just walked away from that and never came back. And this, you know, is for those people that, you know, maybe, you know, would go see a movie in this style, because it's pretty much presented as a Hollywood film that you're playing in the director's style, but making a game that is interactive, fun enough, and has enough, you know, personality where you're excited to play, you know, almost that sense of I want to have my own experience. You know, not to say this is and it isn't a linear story, because it is, but just that sense of ownership of an RPG character, you know, that you want to play as Noctis, the main character. You want to upgrade him, get all the cool, you know, guardian fiends to summon, all the weapons and spells and abilities, and, you know, that appeals to the Western market. But just for the longest time, there's been that barrier of, you know, this game is too Japanese, or this game is, you know, turn-based. There's always some excuse on the part of people that don't care about the KK for JRPGs. I think this could be the first one that's almost kind of like the Game of Thrones, what they did for television those years ago, where it just kind of brings everybody in. It's just a big watershed moment of like, you know, look how far we've come in this design field, and, you know, we finally managed to make, maybe this is the JRPG that applies to everybody. And if not, that's fine. You know, we're not trying to say everybody needs to play Final Fantasy, but if you've sat on the sidelines for all these years, I mean, I would recommend coming back for this. And again, because I'm going based off of my experience as a fan of Final Fantasy, you know, my following the active development of the game for, you know, almost 8 years now, it seems like, since originally it was announced, and the fact that I got to play the demo for it last year that came with Final Fantasy Type-0. So, like, the little bit I played, I can see the genius. Once they went back in and, you know, added all the other RPG elements that the game needs, because as we saw at Fallout 4 last year, if you take out too many RPG elements, people will complain viciously. So there is a limit people where you still want it. People will complain regardless. Exactly. But I agree with the Fallout 4 criticism. You know, they took a game series that was all about you and your crafted story and turned it into a receptacle for, like, they wanted to tell a father-son, you know, story like that. I don't want to spoil Fallout 4, you haven't played it yet, but there was already a clear-cut intention there, as opposed to 3, where you walk out into the wasteland and you're like, oh man, I can do whatever I want. Not so much in 4. So 15, it'll, yes, it'll be a linear game. Yes, it's going to have, you know, a beginning, middle, and end, but I think the gameplay is going to be the thing where people will be like, you know what, this is actually fun. You know, obviously, I'm in here for the story. I'm in here for the next cutscene. That's always how Final Fantasy has worked. But they finally managed to make a gameplay system. Like you said, Pete, you know, there's even sections in this game where you have third-person shooting mechanics. And they're not bad ones. Like, you would not, like, tacked on. They actually are decently well put together for my beta, my demo experience of, you know, have guns that are works like guns. Magic works like magic. Swords work like swords. So I think they have everything lined up to appeal to anybody that wants to give this a chance. That's just me just basically just saying, you know, if there's anybody out there that, you know, is already, you know, doesn't care about this game, is already looking forward to something else, that's fine. I would still say come September 30th, you should take a look at the game. Because I do think it'll be a big deal. And I do expect a long, lengthy game for your $60. So if you want value, you know, Final Fantasy does a damn good job of return on your investment, in my opinion. So,
yep. And that's going to take,
a very long time. So I'm super pumped, yeah, just to know that it's coming, it's happening, you know, finally after all these years. And, you know, the trailer they showed, I mean, it's nice. You got Florence and the Sheen doing a nice little cover of Stand By Me. So, I mean, you have this cool Western musical component to the Japanese art style. And again, this game is just so gorgeous. I could watch, you know, the cutscene on loop all day, just with the character models, animation, the world building. And what's amazing to me, if we want to, like, transition right now into the fact that people have been curious now for a while, where is the PC version of this? Because there pretty much was no messages from Square Enix about, you know, if that even existed, if that was a thought in their consideration. But now we actually have quotes from the development team of, you know, what's going on with Final Fantasy 15 on the PC. And, you know, I'll pull up a direct quote real quick, but in summary, it's basically like, we know there is an outcry, we know this is something people want, but sadly they had to say, we have not been making the PC version. This is not something we were able to concurrently make with the console version. So sadly, it doesn't exist, and I was kind of waiting at the edge of my seat for a while now, maybe to just get some clarification of, you know, is it coming eventually?
So it's not then.
But right now, it's one of those things that like they're thinking about it. You know, they want to get the game out. They want to finish it. They want to get it out on Xbox One and PS, PlayStation 4. I'm sure it'll sell a lot of copies. But, you know, again, you know, because I'm a PC gamer, I'm always thinking about that in the back of my mind is like, you know, I really would love to see a PC version. You know, obviously not a half-assed one. Only, you know, if they really want to do it, they should do it. They shouldn't feel forced in any way. But I feel like if there's was ever a part of the development for, you know, for PS4, or they were just like, yeah, we really wanted to do this, but we were just limited, you know, technically in this way. So we had to think of something else, or we had to replace it with another aspect or game element. So that's a little disappointing to me, but it's nice to know they at least are aware of the reception that, you know,
they're being honest.
I respect that greatly. Yeah. The honest is like, look, guys, it's not something we've been doing. I actually found the direct quote. So we're talking about the director of the project, whose name is Hajime Tabata. He's doing an interview with Engadget. And his direct quotes was, we are aware of the big call for a PC version. And then goes on to say, unfortunately, we weren't able to do simultaneous development on a PC and console version for 15. We had to focus on the console version, and our goal was to optimize everything for the HD consoles. Once that's done, then we will definitely take a good, hard look at PC and what we need to do and consider all our options. But right now, we aren't decided. We're still considering a lot of things. Because you've got to imagine that on the development side, this is something they definitely want to do. You know, who wouldn't want your project, your baby, to not be exposed to as many people as possible? And there's a large amount of people on Steam and other, you know, the Windows 10 platforms and other services that, you know, would love to have Final Fantasy available at all on their platform that isn't like a later on port down the road, you know, because for example, like just like in the last couple of 6 months, we've just now started getting the PlayStation 1 RPGs, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9 onto the Steam platform. So you can see how long it took initially just to get them available. God knows how long we're looking at turnaround time for getting a PC version.
And also, and you forgot this too, and also mobile and tablets too available too. I mean, they are, here's the thing, Paz, like they are going to release this in the future, but right now their focus is PC later on. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on PlayStation 4 and Xbox because there's going to be a lot of gamers that are going to buy it. And I have a feeling that I think the PlayStation version is the one that's going to sell the most, way more than the Xbox version.
I'll go ahead and do Miss Cleo for a second. I'm saying 2.5, even 3-to-1 sales, PS4 over Xbox.
I think so too.
But just because, I mean, it's an RPG console. It's always been the home of Final Fantasy ever since they jumped ship from, you know, Super Nintendo back in the day. That's a recognizable brand. So yes, I mean, it's awesome that Xbox One players now have the chance to play a Final Fantasy 15 day and date. You know, they're going to be able to play Kingdom Hearts 3 day and date when it comes out. That's amazing. Yeah. That's really good news for Xbox players. But realistically, there aren't that many people that would have bought an Xbox just to be able to play these games. It has happened to work out that they'd already had the Xbox for any number of other reasons. And now it's like, oh, cool, now we actually get to play Final Fantasy. Because, you know, a lot of people would not go and spend that money if this was a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Some people would. I certainly would, because I almost bought a PS3 for Final Fantasy 13 until they made that huge announcement E3 all those years ago. It's like, oh, it's coming to Xbox. Like, oh, thank God, I don't have to buy a PS3. Little did I know that it was the game. It wasn't the system that was the downfall. So yeah, PS4, this is a huge game for them. A lot of people did buy a PS4 on the promise of this game in Kingdom Hearts 3. You know, we never knew when it would come out, but you knew that eventually it would come to the system. So PS4, I think, is going to be great. But I mean, again, I'm just happy that Xbox One is getting its fair share of these games.
Hell yeah. Because
obviously,
I mean, it was like that available before, too. Like, it was like that with it was on the previous one, too.
13
like,
was on 360, yeah. But just something, again, I don't really care for that game, but it's just cool that they're treating them equally. Because here in the
States, I don't know in Japan. In Japan, I think it's only PlayStation.
Yes, there barely are that many Xbox Ones in Japan. Too. Yes, it's a perfectly fine accusation.
Yeah. You should find that out. We should do some research about that to see if Final Fantasy 15 is going to be available in Japan for Xbox One. I'm very curious about that. So we'll figure it out. So.
Well, you know what else I'm very interested in?
What's up?
It's good. It's good information. I've been on this kick lately with getting empowered, empowering yourself, and going out and getting things done, putting in the effort. And a good way to start is the Delta Airlines and CBS Local Presents Guiding Greatness video series. For those that are interested, go on over to www.guidinggreatness.com. It's an exclusive video series presented by Delta Airlines with interviews from some of the greatest minds from NCAA basketball. We're talking Coach K from Duke, Mike Bray from Notre Dame, Greg Gard from Wisconsin, Mark Fox from Georgia, who are all unfortunately out of the NCAA tournament this year. But these are people who have seen it all and done it all. They've been to the top. They've known defeat, but they've always succeeded as leaders, as those are the ones that teach the youth, the college students, how to be great and how to succeed at that high level. It's a good opportunity to just listen and maybe take notes on how to succeed and how to live, how to lead, how to be a good person. And the best way to do that is to hear it from the mouths of those who've already done it. So I implore you guys. I know we've been pushing this for the past month, but it's a good opportunity. It never hurts to help yourself get better. And a good way to do it is just go to www.guidinggreatness.com and checking out the video series. That's www.guidinggreatness.com.
Awesome, man. Now, before we go to fan mail, which is one of my favorites, very quick, I have a little story to tell you about Quantum Break. I've been playing this game nonstop. So let me go back with Alan Wake. I played it normal, finished it. Then I went back, played it hard, finished it. Then I went back again, playing it hard. And the reason why I did that was because there was a lot of collectibles that I wanted to get to even get more achievements. So Quantum Break, start playing, boom, normal, all the way to the end, the last level, pausing. I was trying to figure out what is it I was doing something wrong. I couldn't figure it out. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Don't you hate that? It's just that one little thing you can't figure it out.
It was driving me crazy. Crazy. There's no spoilers. There's not going to be no spoilers here. No spoilers. So then I'm like, all right, I'm probably doing something really, really wrong here. Let me go back. So I went to the level before the last one, and I put it on easy, and I went, and I figured out what was the thing that I was doing wrong. Then I finished it. Now I'm back to the first level now, but now I'm playing it hard. So now once I finish the game on hard, now I'm going to lock the hard difficulty and also normal difficulty achievements and stuff. But let me tell you, I'm going back and I'm picking everything different now. Different choices. I want to see a totally different storyline now. So I might go back two or three times, maybe even up to four, depending how much the story changes in the game. But I'm loving the story. The story is freaking fantastic. Love it, man. And if you're a fan of Remedy and like games like Max Payne or Alan Wake, do me a huge favor. Go get this. It is freaking sick. Love it. Now, is it a game changer? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out, possibly. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a game changer, maybe in a different way, like when it comes to like adding the live action.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, video there.
That was the key, because I feel like that was the one thing they killed it. If they had screwed that part up, no matter how cool the game was, once it kicked into the movie mode and you start like rolling your eyes from the cheesiness, then you like that's a problem. But they didn't. They managed to keep the tone from the game to the show and vice versa. That's very hard to pull off, to do that hell acting that normally you're wearing a mocap suit, you're recording lines in the studio, and you have to turn around and you make that character come to life on the screen. And I'm just, you know, hats off to the actors and actresses in Quantum Break. They did a fantastic job bringing these characters to life. You know, me typically as a person doesn't really watch any television anymore. It was nice to have a show to look forward to. You know, you played the gameplay segments, you had fun playing with time and shooting people, and then you got to take a break and watch your own personal TV show at the end. I mean, it's a neat idea. I'm glad it worked out for them, because I know I was super skeptical.
Hell yeah.
Back when they first talked about this, back when the game got its you know, full workover, redone, if you will. And so I was like, I don't know, man. You know, other games like Defiance have tried this before, and it's just been really bad. Do they really want to commit to this? And I'm kind of glad they did. It's a nice change of pace for the game industry. So yeah, I agree with you, Danny. The game does some unique things, and you know, it's worth checking out. I do think it's a fun game.
And let me tell you, there's a lot of Easter eggs.
Yes.
a lot. Oh my God. There was one that I totally missed that Pasta mentions to me, and I went back and I'm like, all right, now I know what Pasta's talking
about. Yeah.
So
see, like the stuff you don't even notice, and then you come back looking for it and you're like, wow, there's a lot of stuff I didn't read or examine or because I mean my playthrough, like I was basically like, you know, I kinda wanna look at all this stuff, but I kinda wanna drive the plot forward, because knowing me, like I'm gonna stop and grind this whole, you know, saving the world thing to a halt because I had to go read this email on this one computer because it gave me an unlockable in the show. And Remedy does a great job filling.
That's the thing.
Remedy's ever since the first Max Payne, Remedy has been one of those few companies that gets world building right. You know, it's easy to design a level geometrically speaking, but it's the soul of what you put inside that space that makes a great game. Because, I mean, you can have a fun gameplay engine, but if the world is not engaging to you, it's going to be almost like a tech demo in your mind. But games that combine world building, you know, with a good narrative, with good gameplay, like Quantum Break does, I mean, those are the special games. Why we have that label AAA is when you just get everything right across the board and you end up with, like, a really good experience. You know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, it's more than a game. Because it's an entertainment product that, you know, for your $60, you're getting a complete bundled experience of game and show. I think it's a damn cool idea. And I think it worked out for them, surprisingly enough. So, I mean, can't wait for people to get their hands on the game and give us some impressions. We'd love to hear from you guys what you guys think of Quantum Break.
Email us, send us voicemail.
Yeah, love to hear some feedback.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I think it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail. Pete, there was one listener that emailed us a couple days ago. He said that your fan mail sound effects, it is horrible.
I don't know what to
do. It is pretty bad.
I don't know what to do anymore, dude. I don't know, man. I just lost my mojo. Y'all killed it, man. I don't know. Maybe I just need to drink more on the show.
I think you should. All right, so we have the first question. And you know what? I want either Pete or Patrick to answer this.
Okay.
All right. Here goes. This is an Oculus Rift question. All right. And this is from Jamie. Hi, guys. My name is Amy from Colorado. Big time fan of the show. You guys do an awesome job with analysis and give a great insight to the gaming industry. Thank you, man. My question is this. I'm really interested in VR and the Rift. Talking about Oculus Rift. I have been shopping and pricing now for a while, and I see some of the bundles on some of the major sites like Best Buy, Amazon, carry a pretty hefty price tag. Would it be cheaper to build my own PC and buy the headset, or do the bundles have an advantage over this option? Also, what specs for a PC would you recommend? And lastly, what are your thoughts for purchasing a first-gen VR machine such as the Rift? Thanks so much, and keep gaming.
I can answer that one. I think I brought this up on the last show when we were talking Oculus. If you go to Amazon and just do a search, actually, I just did a random search on Google that week, and I just did it again. I just did Amazon Oculus Rift and hit enter. And it takes you to the Amazon page. Then they've got a bunch of bundles in there. The cheapest one, as we talked about, is an Asus desktop. It goes for about $1,500. It gives you the bare minimum, which to run Oculus on a desktop, which is an NVIDIA GTX 970 video card. That's the recommended bare minimum to get into the virtual, you know, the VR space with Oculus Rift. That's about the going rate. If you were going to, let's say, go to Newegg go to Newegg, or you know, try to source the parts yourself by going to PC Part Picker or logicalincrements.com. You're going to be paying around that same price. $1,500 is that sweet budget spot for a solid video game PC with Oculus Rift. You figure, you know, between building out the PC and all the components required for that, you just might be better off with Oculus and one of the Amazon builds. You know, they've got some stuff from Amazon and I'm sorry, from Asus. They've got some stuff from Dell and their Steam Box setups. So it's up to you, really. So, and I've seen them anywhere from $1,500 all the way up to $3,500. So depending on where you are financially, you know, there's plenty of options out there if you want to do it and build your own rig, which I know that's a me and Paris preference. But then again, you know, we've got the time, we've got, you know, we're both in the IT space, so we have the technological, you know, experience to put together computers. Some people just don't. Some people don't have the time to do something like that.
Me.
You know, and quite honestly, that's why there's likely always going to be a space for consoles, because there's some people who A, don't want to, B, don't care to, or C, which is both, you know, they don't have the time or the effort or the desire to try to keep up with hardware and new, you know, upgrading RAM and upgrading, you know, hard drives, or, you know, buying the newest, latest and greatest video card. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a good friend of mine, Dan, who went out and bought a brand new Fractal Design case. You know, shout out to Fractal, you know, mine's still dead silent, can't even hear it. Bought his new case and it's been sitting in his house for like 3 months. He hasn't even done anything because it's no lie, it's a chore, but for some people it's relaxing, it's soothing. I've done it twice in the last 6 months with my son, where, you know, we moved his, you know, we went out and built a computer for him, and then we moved it to a different case just over a month ago. So some people, it's, you know, the option is there. Some people just don't want to do it. So you can buy a pre-built one. And like I said, $1,500, you get an Asus, you know, Oculus Ready desktop. You get a 19-inch HD Plus monitor, plus Oculus Rift and all the, you know, all the components, including, you know, a wireless controller. You know, it's the way to go. It might be the right way to go for a lot of people.
All right. We have another email. This is from John. Hey guys, long-time listener. I know most of you are not the biggest sports gamers, but do you guys think EA or 2K would get into sports games for VR, or maybe make the MLB The Show compatible with VR next year? I would love to see something like this, as sports are the main games I play. Let me know your opinions. Thanks for a great great show twice a week.
Can I just say how cool it sounds? Because the first thing I thought of was 2K football back when they first added the first person football feature. I think it was 2005. This
yes.
would be so
oh
perfect
my God.
With that. I would love to play yeah. as like a linebacker or a tight end, like in first person, even the wide receiver, having to like look over your shoulder mm-hmm. as you huff it down the end zone. I think it's a great idea. I think there's a lot of things that would really work well in this space, and this would desperately need the breath of fresh air that sports games needs. Now, obviously, this represents a very, very, very small fraction of people that actually buy sports games would be interested in the VR aspect. But like, I would hope that there's still people would know there's interest there. I mean, John's an example of that. I mean, there's plenty of people that would consider themselves, you know, the hardcore gamers that love sports games. You know, those are not, you know, conflicting interest by any means. So yeah, even me who like doesn't really play sports games at all, I haven't in a very long time. Yeah, if I got an Oculus or a Morpheus or a Vive and they started making some of these sports games available, I would definitely be one of the first people to sign up just to get that new experience, just to see what it's like. You know, for me, like I'd love to see what it'd be like to do maybe like a first person snowboarding game with Oculus Rift. Sounds like a really good idea. Someone should definitely get on that immediately. EA, SSX, come on, what are you guys doing? Yeah, so like I can think of no shortage of ideas that are perfect for the VR space, combining the sports stuff, because then you take out the awkwardness of, you know, because when you do VR in a virtual world, you know, you're having to create the illusion of reality. Whereas opposed to a sport where everyone understands how a sport is played and how it works, you're just putting it in first person, and then there's a nice little twist to it. I mean, hockey would be really intense. Think about skating around the ice first person, slamming into people, trying to score.
Boxing. Boxing would be great. You got
MMA.
Boxing would be sick. Or MMA, right, Pete? MMA?
So
will you do MMA VR?
So
that would be
so
sick.
I'm kind of, you know, I don't think that that's something in the vein of football. I don't think that that would work. Maybe basketball, because you don't really need to be static. My issue would be primarily, since you're in that enclosed mental space, because you've got the helmet covering your eyes, you've got, you know, the little sticks in your hands, you kind of don't have 100% grasp on your immediate surroundings, because you really can't see outside of it. You're just all you can see is what's displayed on the screen inside of the headsets. There's going to be a lot of people running headfirst into their $1,000, $1,500, you know, $2,000, you know, large screen TVs in their living room. A lot of upset wives, because now they can't watch their TV shows because their husbands or boyfriends have run headfirst, thinking they're tackling Tom Brady when they've now got a splitting headache for 20 minutes. I think baseball would probably be the best benefactor out of all of those. I know when the PlayStation Move camera came out and the little controllers came out, I had an opportunity to have the Move controllers and the Eye set up in my living room right before, you know, prior to launch, and playing the baseball, the home run derby from MLB. And that was, you know, something that I could see I could see VR embracing, because it doesn't require the person to run around or lose themselves in the space, and it would lend itself easily to VR. But a lot of these other sports, like football, like it's going to be really, really hard to see that succeed. I'm going to have to be the negative Nancy on that one. I just don't know if that's
possible. No, that's fine, Pete. That's fine, because here's the thing too that we need to talk about, is that companies are not going to take a risk and make a full game, let's say a sports game, for VR, and also have their other successful sports game also on sale. You know, so what they will do is, like, for example, MLB The Show, yes, PlayStation will release the normal annual game, right, that comes every year. Then what they do is they probably add a feature. If you have the VR for PlayStation, you also could play the game using, like, first person like that, right? And I think that will be better for them, because that would be an opportunity for them to also promote the VR and the game at the same time. And if you don't have it, you could purchase a game and just purchase the MLB The Show, the one from next year, and you'll be fine with that, even if you don't have the VR. I know that you know, Microsoft done that with Kinect in the past. Some of them were successful, some of them flopped because it was only a Kinect-only game. But if you have that option to add it in there in the game, I think it'll be a better way for you to sell the game and also promote the product. You know, so
100% agree. I mean, I think if anything, yeah, Sony should be the you know, the vanguard of that push, because The Show is one of their best-selling titles. And, you know, as Pete said, that's the perfect usage of first person for the pitching and the batting aspect. So again, me, who doesn't play baseball games, I, you know, I have the Morpheus by then. Yeah, of course I'm going to check out The Show. You know, first person baseball sounds fun. First person for anything sounds fun. Let's be honest. I'm all ready for the wave of experimental expectations, or game experiments, if you will, like what they can do in the VR space, not only with the first person mechanics as well, but other game developers that are using it in a third person way, or even other ways we can't even think of. So the more the better, in my opinion, because yeah, we're going to have some bad ones here and there, but as long as, like, you know, if we treat it like a renaissance, which I kind of think it will be, there's going to be some high quality games are going to come out of this. And in the long run, VR will be mass accepted by everybody, I think, 10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this year it's early adopters and hardcore gamers only. I'm super pumped for E3 to get my hands on some of these new VR products, because, you know, I want to help, you know, not to, you know, be like, you know, in bed with the VR industry, but like I have having tried this firsthand, it's kind of like preaching the gospel. You want to share it with other people. because they really you can't understand what it's like until you try it. And you know, we can get Paris on the show to back me up on that, because it's true. You know, it sounds really cheesy and gimmicky until you try it and you're like, wow, this is something special. So I'm excited. All right, so guys, obviously we all want to start saving money early, right? Because the earlier you save money, the better off your future is going to be. You know, that's economics 101. Everyone knows that. So we want to help you guys out with that. We want to tell you about LearnVest. LearnVest is a new online financial advice company that's focused on empowering people nationwide to start making smart decisions with their money. These are the guys that you want to seek out if you want to know how to aggressively pay down your student loans. LearnVest can back you up on that. Say if you need to know how much you want to set aside for savings or contribute to your investment or retirement account, they can help you with that as well. They will sit you down and help you create a custom financial plan just for you, and then pair you with a certified financial planner to keep you on track and help you achieve your goals. And because of this, we have a partnership right now we want to pass on to you guys to help you out. So if you guys are thinking about getting some financial advice in the near future, or even now, because there's never any time better to start saving than right now, go to learnvest.com/GTR and you can see a sample plan and get a $50 credit off of a financial advice package from the company. I mean, these guys offer a lot of services. Not only do they have available 24/7 email, you're going to have a live person to talk to. That's the key. You don't want to talk to a machine. You don't want to talk to a robot or an email system. You want to have a real certified financial planner on the phone with you at the email ready to back you up. So it's a fully customizable financial plan to balance your wants and needs. And you have online tools, classes, and articles that'll put you in command of your money, because you just don't want people to take over your money for you. You want them to teach you how to better use your money and your savings to have a better future for you and your family. So again, learnvest.com/GTR. Check it out. Partnered with us, you can get you a $50 credit towards your financial planning future to help you plan for the big maybes, what-ifs of life. And, you know, get out there and do the things you want to do. So check it out. It's learnvest.com/GTR to get a $50 credit off your financial planning for the future.
Before we sign off for the evening, as usual, I have to, you know, since now it's all about the division with me, right? Ubisoft finally released some information regarding the end game. I know there's been a lot of chatter, hint, hint, Paris, and a lot of people naysaying about the game. Where is the end game? And people thinking that what we have in our hands is what Ubisoft had in mind. Coming soon, actually, April 12th is the new update that will actually bring about Incursions. Incursions is the next iteration of DLC for The Division, and it's going to be very, very similar to the raids that people have been experiencing, or that people have experienced for the past two plus years with Destiny. Extreme difficulty, people that have to work together, so it's not like you can just do what people are doing now to farm Phoenix credits and just running through hard. The default mode is hard. There's going to be a minimum level requirement. And it will do a check of your gear to make sure that, you know, you're qualified to get in it, and you can't just jump in and get Sherpa'd through the raid.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hourly supply drops in the dark zone. So it's going to be random high level gear will drop randomly in the dark zone, and the first person that gets there gets it. And of course it's not going to be free, because you're going to have to go through a bunch of high level enemies, probably in the 30 to 32 range. To get through to it, and then you got to grab it, and then you got to extract, right? Mm-hmm. Daily missions and assignments, similar to what they have now. But they're finally unveiling the trading system. So what people will be able to do now is they'll be able to trade anything that was picked up within that group instance, and you have a 2-hour time limit. So if you've been playing for 3 hours, it's only stuff that you've picked up over the last 2 hours. If you're in the dark zone and you pick up stuff and you want to trade it, you have to exit out of the dark zone first before you can trade any items. And obviously it has to be extracted as well, because it's contaminated. Ubisoft hasn't stopped. They've got a lot of opportunities opened up for players. And before we leave, I want to address a quick fan mail I got from Brad Reynolds. Shout out all GTR crew, past and present. You guys helped me get through my day at work. If I may, a special shout out to Poston J for being not just a podcaster, but a friend and fellow gamer. If only all celebs of the industry would mingle and engage with the community where it lives. So thanks. And yes, I follow you all on Xbox Live as it is my Facebook/Twitter. By the way, Pete, you have not completed the Division campaign yet. Last I checked, you were at 93%, so you still have a few missions to go. They're not colored like the rest, so not easily spotted. So, no, and that's fine because I did finish it and actually finished it on Friday of last week. I had finished all of the levels. I had finished all of the missions, the primary missions of the game. I just hadn't completed my base of operations and the actual wings. I had them all at 90%. So last Friday evening, I was able to finally Sherpa my way or just go through and just power through. Finally got all my base of operations and all my wings up. I've actually gotten all except for like, I think, three side missions completed. But, you know, shout out to Brad Reynolds for trying to put me, you know, to try to run me over with the failed bus. But sorry, I'm going to pull a line from See the God. You're going to catch Donkey of the Day for this one. but if anybody else wants to, they can please send an email over to fanmail@gamertagradio.com for next week's show. And the one fan mail that
appeases Thursday show
that appeases me the most, or Paris, but that depends if Paris plays the game. We're going to go ahead and give out a copy of The Division on PC. So those of you that are interested, send in a fan mail. Tell me about your experiences, your likes, your dislikes. Let's get some chatter involved on The Division, because for me, it's my favorite game. And Spaz, I think I'm going to pull a Paris, and I'm not going to accept your friend's request because you have way too many X's and lines in your
game. Oh, that's savage.
Dude, you're on the road today, man. What's wrong with you? He's on the road. On the road today, man.
Well, shout out to Brad. Thanks for the feedback, man. And yeah, we've had some good games in the past. I need to get back on. I miss playing Xbox Live. So speaking of that, probably need to get back into The Division. Catch up with you, Pete. Mm-hmm. Are you 30 now, Pete?
Oh yes. Right. I am so level 30.
I'm still
30
and level 27, 28. I think 27, 28. Okay.
As soon as we're done with this, dude, hey, let's just jump over. We'll get you through a couple of.
I'm down.
Right. Let's do it.
I'm down to join in.
All right.
So yeah, man, it's been a cool episode, right? It's been smooth. Lots of talk about Final Fantasy. Pete was
quiet.
Yeah.
If you hate RPGs, we put you to sleep, and I'm sorry.
When you guys talk Nintendo, I disappear.
Oh man, but see, that's the thing. We all have our likes and dislikes, you know. So we'll see. We'll see once the game comes out, Patrick, because you know we're hyped now.
I mean, again, yes, I'll be the first to admit I was really hyped for Final Fantasy 13. I bought it at midnight launch,
same
like
here.
A sucker, and then we're just like, I've been duped. I don't think it'll happen with 15. Because I have played a small slice of it, and I understand what they're going for, and I think it's the right move to switch it up. Because you can always go back and play the old Final Fantasies if you want the turn-based combat system, but it needs something new. This was the right call. And again, you're still getting your Final Fantasy VII remake, people. It's just going to be over multiple games in multiple years, so you know, enjoy that nickel and diming. But thankfully, we have a $60 Final Fantasy to look forward to with no microtransactions and hopefully none of that nonsense, but we'll see if their messaging changes closer to launch. But I'm hoping for everything is just in the game for $60, you know, the way things used to be, right? Just simple, go to the store, buy a game, enjoy it, the strings attached,
enjoy it.
But we'll see. September 30th, I'm pumped. I'll be the first one online.
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, play.it/gamertag, listen to our past episodes. And share with your friends. Spread the word. You can find us iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher, and also other places. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. I love getting voicemails. Send voicemails. Let's go. And if you can't call, let's say you're it's an international call, you can also send us MP3s or Wave. Just record from your phone and send it to fanmail@gamertaggrid.com. It'll be a lot easier for you guys too, man. So that's it for me. You know, I'm just going to go now and play some The Division now. Hopefully Pete and Patrick will join.
I'll be there.
All right. Okay. And that's it. Until next time. We're out. Peace. Later.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.